at 3 times before they graduate. Choosing a career can be difficult,
so spend some time researching your careers and ask as many questions as possible. Today, we have a very special visitor here. This successful man graduated from St. Pius X in 1998 and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Political Science from Texas A&M University in 2000. While he was attending Texas A&M, he enlisted in the Army Reserve. In 2004, he served a year in Iraq. He has experience working as an investor, financial analyst, and manager. J.P. Morgan Chase, Millennium Energy Ventures, and KLM Technologies are just a few of the prestigious companies he has worked for in the past. In his spare time, he dabbles in real estate, plays with his dogs, and spends time with his wife, Christy. Please join me in giving a warm St. Pius X welcome.
So that helps me get over a little bit of nerves. But I'm very thankful to be here. I'm excited to be back at St. Pius. Anytime I'm able to come back here, it's special for me. It's special to come back to the auditorium, to walk up and down the halls, to see the same teachers that have been here for decades. And I've spent a lot of time and energy out there on that field, which is also a pretty special place for some of these guys here. As I was listening to the intro, I was able to hear a little bit more of it than you. I realized how far I've come from that little introduction there. Most of you guys probably think I was valedictorian class of 1998, but I'm here to tell you I was not. Not only was I not valedictorian, I was not in AP classes, I was not in National Honor Society, I wasn't even in the top quarter of my class. Secondly, I did not get into the first college of choice. I had to go to junior college and then went on to A&M, but I still graduated in 4 years. So I've had to come a long way to get where I am today, and I'm here for a couple reasons. And when I was younger, in junior high, I tended to not make the best decisions. I like to hang out with kids that are called knuckleheads. These knuckleheads didn't really have their best interest in for me. I ended up getting expelled, suspended, in-school suspension, you name it, I did it. So, success is not a determinant of where you come from. It's about hard work. One person I'd like to thank today is Ms. Larson. She doesn't know I'm thanking her today. I don't even know where she is. Ms. Larson sat with me in the middle of my freshman year, and she was the dean of getting students into St. Pius. And she asked all the right questions if there was any past disciplinary problems, and there was. And I wanted to lie, but my mother wouldn't let me. But despite that, she gave me a fresh start, a new place to try again. And that's a little bit, there's a real reason, a real connection between St. Pius and my life being a success. If it wasn't for St. Pius, I wouldn't have met my wife, Christy, who was class of 98. I wouldn't have met my best man, who was in my wedding, and I would never have gone on to be the success that I am, that I feel that I am today, if it wasn't for St. Pius and if it wasn't for Ms. Larson giving me a second chance. So thank you very much. This is my second time coming to St. Pius for Career Day, and I attended 4 as a student. So I've kind of got some Career Day experience. So I'm going to kind of give you a heads up when you go into your breakout sessions what to be looking for. Career Day is really not the day where you decide I'm going to be a fireman. 60 years from now, you're not going to look back and say, when I was a sophomore year in the middle of St. Pius' Career Day, I decided I was going to be a fireman. And every day since then, I've planned and worked my goal to be a fireman. But given that, Career Day is the time to start thinking about the plan. It's about the time to start thinking about which direction you want to go in your life. And it's about, you need to think of Career Day as a seal, as a sector, in the military we call it a sector of fire. It would be the whole career path that you'd like to take. So let's say you want to be a doctor today, and you go into Career Day and you find out, well, you're not really good at anatomy and physiology and biology and chemistry, but you still want to work in the healthcare profession. You need to realize that there's many jobs within the healthcare profession that you can do that have nothing to do with being a doctor. You can even do finance and still work in the hospital. So given that, I want to talk to you about three things that help me be successful. The first thing is building the team. For some reason in high school, we do a very poor job at this, building the team. In the real world, we call it networking. In high school, we call it our friends. For some reason, we do not really put any time and energy. We take the path of least resistance, and we hang out with folks that may not necessarily have our best interest in mind. Looking back at my time in middle school and the bad behaviors that I had at multiple schools, I kept noticing every time that I would end up in the principal's office, there'd be two guys sitting right next to me who we thought we were really giving it to the teacher. We thought we were the cool kids, and we were beating the man. And then I'd get kicked out of that school. Then I'd go to the next school. And sure enough, I'd fall in with the same group of knuckleheads. And they wouldn't have their best interest in mind. And I would get suspended and in-school suspension. And for whatever reason, that really wasn't a successful attitude or mindset or a successful plan. So I tried something I'd never tried before. In eighth grade, I tried to be a nerd. I tried to jog. I tried being a skater. I had my hair bangs down here, put behind my ear. I tried to do it. But the nerd thing kind of stuck, and I kind of found myself, not getting in trouble, and I was able to stay to school for, a significant period of time. I'm going to tell you a story that St. Pius is probably not too proud of, but my sophomore year, on an away football game, on the varsity, the juniors and seniors decided this would be a great time to have some pre-celebration adult beverages. And they also brought some adult reading material. And they were all enjoying it in the back of the bus. And sure enough, the story began, you knew they were going to get caught. And they did. And I was three rows from the back, very happy to be back there as a sophomore and be dressing out on varsity. And there were partying going on in front of me and partying going on behind me and beside of me. But for whatever reason that day, and I'd like to think it was because of my moral superiority and my good judgment, I didn't partake in the pre-celebration. The reason why I didn't was because I had a good friend sitting right next to me named Brian Wisnowski. And he held me accountable. And he said, I don't think we want to do this. This isn't the right time or the right place. And if Brian wouldn't have been there, I have no idea what I would have done. But I do know that because he was there, I didn't do that. I didn't get in trouble. And it's really important that as we, now that we're in high school, some of our actions and activities are going to be permanent. And they're going to have long-term lasting results. So we need to start thinking with a different mindset. And having a team there that has your best interest in mind, that's what it's all about. The second thing I want to talk to you, one quick thing, freshmen. You've got a great opportunity because you're in a stage of your life in which a lot of changes are going to happen. Who you're BFF with today is not going to be the same as your BFF when you're a senior. It's okay. The folks you sat with at lunch today are not going to be the people you sit with lunch in senior year. Somebody's going to make cheerleading. One of you is not. One of you is going to try golf and the other one's going to stay on the football team. And because of that, you're going to go your separate ways. And that's just a part of life. That separation gives you an opportunity to really reevaluate who you're hanging around with and who you're making as your team, who you're building as your network. Are these people going to build you up? Or are they going to get you into trouble? Seniors, you've got an awesome opportunity because for the first time in probably 12 years, you're going to get away from these same knuckleheads you've been going to school with since the third grade. You're going to be leaving town. You're going to be leaving mom and dad. And you're going to start to be getting on the plane, getting on the path that's going to lead you to your future. And you've really got to start making a cognitive decision and picking your friends and picking your teammates. The second thing I want to talk to you today is about something that we all encounter. Big or tall, short or fat, glasses or freckles, it doesn't matter, we've all got them, and that's problems. Some problems aren't our fault. They're our parents, we can't do anything about it. I'm not a self-help guru that's going to tell you every problem is an opportunity to succeed. Nah, some problems just suck, and it's not your fault. But for the most part, you've got to overcome these obstacles. There are two kinds of people in the world, successful and unsuccessful. Successful people know how to navigate problems. Unsuccessful people don't. It's pretty darn simple. I'm going to give you two quick things to help you out with problems. The first one, the teachers and faculty like this. Follow instructions. It's real simple. And how novel of a concept that right there in numerical form, we've got the answers. I mean, if we had this throughout most of our life, life would be a heck of a lot easier. But for whatever reason, life doesn't give us all the instructions. And sometimes we run against problems and obstacles that we can't overcome. And in doing that, we need to start developing skills to overcome those problems. And that's called critical thinking. That's what you're here to do at this place of higher learning, at the university level. As much as you think they're teaching you about math, science, and history, they're really teaching you how to solve problems using critical thinking. The ability to use critical thinking makes successful people super successful. Where other people can't solve these problems, critical thinkers can solve these problems. You've got to make the logical conclusion. You've got to make that logical jump. I'll give you a classic example. And everybody here always asks the questions, even the smart kids, when will we ever use this in the real world? Well, here's an example. Ms. Cusimano's got you reading Hamlet in 12th Night. And you go home and you actually read these two items. And you read them and you memorize them and you know who does what and where and when. You know who stabs who and in what family. You know who poisoned who. I mean, and you're ready to go. And so you get in Ms. Cusimano's class and you sit down and you're like, bring it, Ms. Cusimano. I got this. And then all of a sudden she goes up to the board and she writes, compare and contrast the role of womanhood or motherhood in these two novels. You didn't want me to just regurgitate and parrot this information? You really wanted me to think on my own and come up with my own concepts? That's what life is about. When you get into the real world, whether you're a policeman, a fireman, a doctor, a lawyer, an airplane pilot, you're going to have to make the logical conclusion. You're going to have to make the jump. Successful people make the logical conclusion. The last thing I want to talk about is having the plan. You've got to have a plan. So far in life, we've been just kind of floating along. We didn't make any decisions at this point, really. We didn't determine where we went to middle school or junior high. Probably didn't have much say in where we went to high school. But along the way, we need to start getting involved in the plan. And that's what Career Day is about. It's giving you some feedback. You giving you the ability to give some feedback, to have some say in your own future, to start directing your own plan of action, your own course of action for the future. And that's what Career Day is about. That's what college is about. Giving the opportunity to be a part of the plan. Because if you don't have a plan, when you get out, it gets really tough. It gets really tough. So you've got to start developing the skills now and implementing a plan and developing the plan and implementing the plan. Tell you a quick story that kind of envelops all of these concepts that I've talked about tonight, or this afternoon, I guess. And that is one time when I was in Iraq. You heard that I spent a little time in Iraq. So we're coming out of the green zone. Green zone is known as the safe area, supposed, and downtown Baghdad. So immediately as we leave Baghdad, the green zone, we get waved down and we say, no, you can't go any further. Then we're on Route Irish, the most deadliest street in Iraq. And they say, no, there's an IED up there. That's an improvised explosive device. You can't go up there. There may be other ones laying around here. So the EOD team, Explosive Ordnance Division, was out there. And they were, searching for secondary devices. So we're kind of like stuck like Chuck. And if you're not in the green zone, you're in the red zone. And so as soon as I get out there, I'm surveying the area, starting to think critical, and I realize we've got a certain amount of time that we've got to get the heck out of here, or it's going to be ugly. I look around, and there's smoldering vehicle-borne IEDs, VBEDs, that were blown up the week before, and there's still a little bit of smoke coming from them. And so, you know, I assessed the situation, and it wasn't good. I got a bunch of jags or attorneys. And imagine an attorney in a war zone carrying 9 mils. This is not the weapon of choice to fight the enemy. And you don't really want to have a bunch of attorneys out there fighting the enemy. Furthermore, we were in NTVs called non-tactical vehicles. We were not up armored. We didn't have holes in the top of our cars with mounted weapons. And we were stuck like Chuck. We were really going to be in some hurt if we didn't get out of there. Well, luckily, and a key point to the story is they wouldn't let us back in the post. And I don't know why they call it military intelligence, but you know they let us out, but they wouldn't let us in. But luckily for me, they let out a 30-person convoy out right behind us. And these guys are big, bad dudes. They had up-armored vehicles. They knew what the heck they were doing. They had mounted weapons, crew-served weapons. It was awesome. They were ready to go. So I said, all right, I can assess my team, and I need to develop a bigger, badder team to get out of here. So, and the second thing I did was I said, I got to develop a plan to get out of here. So I said, I'm going to join their convoy, and I'm going wherever they're going. Because right here where I am is not good. So I run into the first guy, and he says, yeah, I can help you. Then I ask him what I want. He says, nope, can't help you. So I go to the next guy. I tell him, hey, I need to take my 4-person element. I need to embed it in here. And he says, oh, I can't help you. So I run to the final guy, and he's like, yes, I'll help you. And so we put a 4-passenger pack, we call it a pack, 4-pack in their convoy. We get ready to go. The elements start to move. And I'm talking to the individual. And he says, hey, one problem. I don't know how to get out of here. I don't know where we're going. So I said, oh, okay. There's an MSR, main supply route, and alternate supply route. Well, the MSR was blocked, so we had to take the alternate route. He wasn't familiar with it. Luckily, I was. And through a map, we kind of figured it out. So we all jump in our vehicles, and we're riding on, and we go up about a click, and we go west about 2 clicks, and he goes to Abugarev, the prison we've all heard of. So he's going to Abugarev prison, which is less than a mile away from where I'm going. So he takes a right and goes north, and I take a left and go south, and we kind of wave past each other, and we roll right into one of Saddam's former palaces called Camp Victory. It's where I spent about 350 days. In Iraq. And that was it.